And good to see everybody back. Nice sunny day. Before it turns a little cooler again. Well, every week's got a lot of stuff in it anymore, doesn't it? Another week. Good things, bad things happening, depending on your vantage point. You know, March Madness is on full on for both women's and men's basketball teams. Nice to see some of the small teams be victorious. If you watched any of it, especially the reaction of the winning team, especially the reaction of the Christian schools. There's a couple of Christian schools that made it, you know. Most of the teams, they win, they make the last second bucket, or they get in, it's yeah, and they're hugging and they're jumping up and down. And the Christian team is, the first thing is yeah, and it's like, oh, I'm sorry. And they hug the person. It's just totally different. Their first reaction is the same as any other person, but then immediately you see, oh, they see how bad the others feel, and that's, oh, I'm sorry, it's okay. They go to encourage the other people. But Hoosier hysteria is going on, though most of the teams we would like to see still playing aren't playing anymore, but they're not in the tournament any longer. We got Val Kilmer passed away and Chuck Norris passed away, you know, kind of some American heroes, at least in the movies and on television. But don't worry, Val Kilmer's coming out in a new movie later on. There's an AI version of Val that's going to be in the movie. So he's gone, but he's still with us. He'll be in a movie coming up, so. We've got bombings, we've got governors kicked out of restaurants, you name it, it happens anymore. You know, if we aren't involved in those things, we can be busy watching our kids and our grandkids and watching them play. You know, just our grandkids this week have basketball games at Oak Trace Elementary in Westfield, Indiana, baseball at Grand Park at Westfield, Indiana, baseball games in Kokomo, Indiana, soccer games in Zionsville, softball games in Columbus. There's tennis where I'm not sure even where it's at. Then there was a birthday party as well to go to for some of them. So, and that's just Saturday. So then it doesn't count all of them. They redo again on Sundays. So busy with everything but church. Spending time with God. You know, and it's probably my generation's fault. You know, we started putting some emphasis on sports and playing games and doing well and traveling and doing things, and now it's gotten out of hand. Used to be just Saturdays. Then it was Sundays, and now it's Sunday mornings. They have all the sports games. You know, Satan's done well. He's taken us away. He's taken us out of church. He's taken the kids out of church. He's taken them out 7 days a week. Got them busy. Throw in the less than stellar things, the bad things that we have to take care of, and all this other stuff we need to do, and sometimes it gets overwhelming. There's so much to do. I think the kids get overwhelmed as well. I know the parents do. I've seen it and heard it. But we have a place to go and someone to talk to. And God's always available and always waiting for us. I'm going to read Psalms 46 today. Psalm 46, it's 11 verses long. We're going to read all 11 verses. Excuse me. Psalm 46, 1 through 11. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into them. To the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You know, when we're kind of out there in the water floundering around, God's our lifeline. He's going to pitch us a lifeline. He's there to rescue us. He's there to save us. And when life gets to be a lot, whether self-inflicted or otherwise, and we need help, you know, he is our refuge. He's our strength. And no matter what happens around us, if we let go and let God, there's no reason to fear, because you're in his hands. And he knows what's going on. He knows what you need. He knows what help you need. You're protected. You're safe. You're in a refuge, because it's in his strength, not ours. The refuge is only entered by those who've asked to come into it. You got to desire to go, those who seek God. You got to seek his refuge. You got to find it. Got to want to go in. Got to take advantage of it. Want to be there. You know, it says he's in control. Come and see what the Lord has done. See that every day. It says the rest of the earth may fall, but that refuge in God, it's still there. It never goes away. Refuge protects you, surrounds you, offers safety. You know, it says, be still and know that I am God. Seems like we would want to be in contact with that person who is our refuge and our strength. And it says, an ever-present help in trouble. Ever-present help is always there. The Lord Almighty is with us. But we need to be still. We need to stop all this stuff and know God. You know, being still facilitates the relationship with God. And when we're still and we're listening, it leads to worship. It leads to that relationship growing. It leads to our purpose in him. It leads for him to teach us. We can't know him if we're not around him. If we don't spend time with him. Now, we live on the average, we live on the average 77 years. That's the average. We're on the telephone for two of those years. I think this is probably old. I got a feeling by the time you add social media and all the other stuff and games on your phone, it's way more than 2 years of our life is on the telephone. We watch television for nine of those years that we're alive, 9 years of television. We spend 3 years in the bathroom. Did you say something? She might have said, I spend more than that, but it is the reading room, you know, so. Less than 7 months of our whole entire life, on average, is spent talking to God. We get too active with other things. We put off God. You know, he's not first. He's down the list. Maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day, whenever I can make time. Again, you can't know him without talking to him. You've got to spend the time. we get active, we do a lot of good things. We do a lot of good, there's teaching. We help others. We fix things, coaching. You know, the amount of people teachers and coaches go through that they touch lives is just tremendous. They have the just that ability of the kids coming through and touching their lives as they go to teach them. We have meetings and we have all kinds of things we do, but being busy doesn't mean necessarily we're spiritual. It means we're busy. We like to see results when we're busy, preferably immediate and positive results. But faithfulness doesn't necessarily mean successful, what we deem successful. It means trusting God and His way no matter what happens. Sometimes when prayers don't provide the desired results in the timely manner that we need, we resort to doing it our way with, of course, all the wonderful knowledge and wisdom that we have and we've attained. We know how to do it our way. Sometimes we don't want to wait on God. Which one provides the more desired results? It's like those commercials. Some results may vary. Be a better result if you wait on God and do it His way. But the time we spend with God needs to be spiritual. It needs to be intimate. Not just of an activity we need to follow up on. Not just something we do. I want to go to Mark 11, verses 15 through 18. Mark 11, 15 through 18. Says, on reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you've made it a den of robbers. You know, the people there were actually providing a service to people who needed something to sacrifice when they came to the temple. Now, were they doing it in the right manner, in the right way? No, they weren't. They would just cheat people. They would make them buy instead of using their own sacrifice. That they couldn't use their own, they had to buy. What was there? Prices were a bit higher there than they were if they had brought their own. They were not necessarily in the right places they were supposed to be to do the service they were providing. But yet it was a service to travelers. But see what Jesus said. He says, as he taught them, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. It was made into something that was supposed to be good and help, but it changed the focus from God. Took it away from God. It made it on the sacrifices. It made it how to do the sacrifices and where to do the sacrifices. And I think we do that today. Think in your mind, how many churches do you think are known as a house of prayer? Does that come to your mind first? I can think of some that maybe comes to my mind, others, and maybe that's my own problem to deal with. I see some that are a house of coffee. Got coffee real big on the side of the building. They've got a drive-through. You don't even have to go in. You can just pull in, get your coffee, and drive on through. Coffee and snack bars and stuff. or I see some called the House of Music. Fantastic music, great music. But what's its purpose? I know others that are, you could call a house of sports or a house of workouts. They have their own weight rooms and all this stuff you can go in and do and get your workout in there. You know, some are a house of meetings, have all kinds of meetings of all sorts. Again, a lot of it's good things, but are they a house of prayer? Is God in it? There's a lot of good things people do, but they've changed the focus. And the church needs to get back to God and worshiping Him. Church needs to be about prayer. Prayer is important. And I'm thankful people come to us asking for prayer. We get calls to be put on our list. I think that says something. It's what we want to be known for. We want to be a house of prayer. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Hebrews 5, 7 and 8. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petition with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obeyed him. I think, again, communication with God is so important. Prayer, as Jesus showed us. You know, we can cram 30 seconds or a couple minutes in a prayer, and at times that might be okay. But I think God desires a little bit more. How many times did Jesus go off by himself to pray? He wanted to be alone. He wanted to be still. He wanted to hear God. To be still and know who God is. Jesus taught them how to pray. They asked. He showed them. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. God's will prevailed. He prayed for a change, but he prayed for God's will. And he submitted to it. We have to be submissive to God and His will in our prayers. And we can pray in His will by having a close relationship with God. Because the closer we are to Him, the more we know what His will is. The more we're in agreement. I have an invitation. Invitation again. You're invited to come up. And again, this is not a stage. It's an altar. Anything you want to talk to God about, it's open. Just come here. Bring somebody with you if you want. Come by yourself. It's okay. It's a time of invitation to come just to talk to God. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. When you don't know what to say, you're a child of God, the Spirit's going to help you. Sometimes we get to that point. But we should be like Jesus. Our prayer life should be a lifestyle. Not just things we do. It should be a lifestyle. It says we should pray without ceasing. It should be on our hearts and minds all the time. We need to be still and know God and in submission to Him. You know, it's like a lot of things, you know, you get a jar of mud and water, or the old days when you drink actual cow's milk, you know, it's all kind of put together, but you let it sit, it separates. And it separates the clear water or the cream from the rest of it, or the clear water from the mud part. It separates, and you can tell the difference. You can see the difference clearly. But we need to take time to sit and be still, to know who God is, to let that chaos settle, to where you can see God separated out, see Him more clearly. Then spend time alone talking to God, to the God of creation, as a child of God. Just as to a father. It's just a conversation. And that can be anywhere. You know, maybe that's a still time in your closet, prayer closet. You don't actually have to go into a closet. We had a lady did that with the Sunday school kids one time. That didn't work out well. Not a good object lesson. But a place where you can be alone. A place where you have time. Maybe it's while you're driving down the road. You know, things on your mind. We've talked about it before. Sometimes it's mowing the grass. Sometimes it's just thinking while you're doing the routine. But make time to be still. Make time to spend time with God. Let all the busyness take you away from the best thing you have. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for being there, that You are our refuge, that You're our anchor, that You're there each and every day, 24 hours a day. You're there, just waiting for us to come to You, wanting to help us if we'll only come, if we'll only seek, if we only ask. Ask, seek, and knock. You call us to do that. Lord, we're thankful that we can come to the most powerful being there is, that can help us through anything. Not only help us through problems, but be with us to share the good times. Just to see the glory of the things You do, and to spend them with You. Father, we praise You. We invite now a time for to spend with You, to see what You're doing in our lives, Lord, to come to You. Lord, we pray that You're revealed in our spirit, that we see You clearly, that we've let the chaos settle down and we see You clearly. And Lord, we pray that that relationship grows and it puts out growth to us, but Lord, sign to others to who You are, sign and an ability and a desire to share who You are. Lord, we thank You for that time we can be with You alone, time to talk to You, just one-on-one. Lord, we praise You. And we give You the glory today. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.